I'd be skinny if I had to kill my own food, man. I'm really glad my food comes murdered for me. If I had to shoot a cow in the face for my hamburger, you know, you shoot the cow, you know how dead you are, cow. Ready to eat a, and the cow's just looking at me, you know, you'd be like, damn, I can't kill a cow. I could kill fish though, because fish don't have any eyebrows, you know what I mean? Fish. We do a lot of stuff to fish that ain't right. Because as soon as you catch it, it's suffocating, but the eyes don't, so it can't scream, you know? So you just want to hurt a fish. That's the same for dude. If you were stabbing a dude, and he just was standing there, not blinking, and not saying, but he can't breathe, and his eyes ain't, and he just... But he really dying. He's like, you better blink, and it's just... Kill him, so poor fish.
Homemade Broadcast, episode 80. How you doing? I'm doing well. My name's Will. I'm your host. It's Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com. You're listening to, or maybe you're listening online on my YouTube station, or maybe you found me on my Facebook at Facebook.com/TheHomemadeBroadcast. So, I got some new wires hooked up. I went out, an old Billy engineer went out and picked out his own wires, figured out what he needed, and went ahead and bought those things, hooked them up. Gold plated, supposedly the connection's spectacular and all these things now. Spent the money, invested in myself, and invested in you, the listener, so you can have a pleasant listening experience without popping your eardrums out if you're listening with headphones. So I'm hoping this works. I'm gonna have to listen after it's done to find out if it actually succeeded in its task of not having these connection problems anymore. And it's horrifying listening to yourself. If you've never done it, don't. It's just not a fun experience. But, yeah, so today we have Zach Counts coming in. He should be here shortly with Corey Allen. Corey Allen is back. This is his second appearance on the podcast. Last time we talked to him was with the Xvala exhibit and the No Delete show. And Zach just opened up his show at Corey's gallery this past Friday or Saturday. I was there, but I don't remember what day it was, because they all start to run together. I feel like I'm getting sick again. I'm a little worried, but I think it's just the allergies. It's the first day of spring today, and spring has sprung via pollen, and it's all up in my nose and my throat, and I can feel it. I came home today. I didn't feel well all day. Hit up the improv last night and stayed out till about 1 in the morning. I was the last one to close out the open mic last night. And performed in front of about maybe 6 people. So it was, that's always a really humbling experience. But it was fun. Got to get out there more. My friend Natasha came and picked me up, which is great because I can't go anywhere that far without being picked up because my car is just a mess. So she came all the way down from Sarasota, and we drove down to Ybor, and we were the last two. We got there late enough that... We pretty much missed the signups, but luckily Mike Morris was there hosting and got us on at the end there. So thank you to Mike. And new open mic this Tuesday. That is the 24th at Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue. I guess I might as well also read their ad while I'm here. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar. Find out why Sly Bar was named I Love the Bergs. One of the top businesses to watch in 2015. Sly Bar is located at 2061 Central Avenue. As I said, great beer assortment, great folks all around, good time to be had. So check them out. Open mic is this Tuesday at Sly Bar, and there's a $50 cash prize at the end to the best comic. So that should hopefully bring some folks out. And if you haven't been yet, come check it out. It's fun. It is a lot of fun. I know it's a Tuesday, and I know it's, you know, Wednesday's the next day, and you probably have to work. But we get done early enough where you can come out, get home by, you know, 10:30, 11, and get to bed. So if you ever want to do comedy, it's a great place to start. And you could potentially win $50 if you bring a few people. It's all audience participation is how we decide it. So it should be a lot of fun. And also, I didn't get my picks in of things to do this weekend. But the Cigar City guys, friends of ours and friends of the show, are doing Enigma's monthly comedy show, Cigar City Comedy Show. So you can check those guys out this coming Saturday at Enigma. Where's Enigma? Ah, man, I meant to write this down. I'm sorry. Enigma, Google.com. Enigma, St. Pete. Boom. Re-getting results. Come on, Google. You're usually faster than this. Don't embarrass me. This is humiliating. Did I type it wrong? Probably. Enigma, St. Pete. Booyah. What's the deal? Come on. It's not pulling up. It's just a blank screen. It's not even loading. This is ridiculous. Enigma is near. It's like 1-1. Oh, come on. Seriously? Oh, I bet you know what? Check the Facebook. I don't know why. I don't know why. I think something's wrong with the internet here in St. Pete, because even at work, it's been acting funky. Oh, okay. Enigma St. Pete, 1110 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. So those guys, who's it going to be? See if I can find the event page. This is the thing I don't like, a laptop. You know what I should get is a little mouse so I can just navigate quickly through this mess. Show all. Cigar City Comedy in downtown St. Pete. Starts at 9. And you got Michael Murillo, Amanda Jordan, Rachel Thies, Steve Miller, and Law Smith at that show. That's a pretty good lineup, so go check those guys out. Support comedy here in the Tampa Bay area. So, okay, let's get into it with Zach Counts and Corey Allen, and let's start that interview. Already in progress. Please hold.
Okay.
And we're back through the magic of radio. We did a nice little intro, and now I'm sitting here doing it in the future, and Zach Counts and Corey Allen are sitting in studio right now. How you doing, guys?
Good.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I was telling you off air that I feel like I'm getting sick, but I think it's just the pollen in the air. First day of spring. Spring has sprung, and so I just slept for like 2 hours. So I'm feeling good now, and I drank a big old coffee, so I'm feeling great. Just no, they're like, yes, okay, yes. Great, cool. So Zach just had an opening this past week. What did you have a name for the show?
No, there wasn't a name for the show.
It was just the Zach Counts opening.
The Zach Counts exhibit? Is that what
yes.
It was?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, and you had some, it was a pretty good turnout, I would say, for the show. And you had paintings, new paintings. And old paintings from, like, when mm-hmm. when was the, well, how old was the oldest one?
Oh, man. Let me think here. Probably 2005?
Okay, wow. That's pretty, yeah. That is kicking it back a decade. So you've been painting a long time then?
Oh, yeah, since I was about, I started painting when I was about 15.
Okay, so you've been painting, you're like 35, right, you told
yeah,
me?
Yeah, 35.
So that's, by the my calculations, 20 years you've been yes. doing that. Yeah, that's tough for me. I had to really think about that one.
Yeah, math is hard, man. Don't,
it really
don't
is, it really
brain.
Is.
You got a calculator on your phone, you can use that next time.
It's, yeah, I know. I should have probably just done that in the first place. It would have been embarrassing to get that wrong, but my mind didn't fail me this time. So
that's all good.
So 20 years and a culmination came to Corey Allen Contemporary Art last Saturday. Is this your first opening that you ever done?
First solo show, yeah.
You've done like group ones at like, you know, Sly Bar and
yeah, I've done a few group ones locally here, and then I did a couple group shows when I was living up in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. Is that where you're from originally?
No, I'm actually from Clearwater.
Okay.
And I my dad liked to move us around a lot when I was a kid. So
he was like military.
No,
no.
He was just that's on the first thing everyone asked to
on the run from the law. Or
that would have been actually a lot cooler.
Yeah,
but no, he's a carpenter, and he said he went where the work was, but I think he just liked to move around.
Yeah, my dad was trained in cabinet making. That's what he did for a long time, and you could get a job in Florida pretty easy. I think there might have been some things he was hiding from you that he didn't express.
Yeah,
maybe had to kill some people. Maybe
he's an interesting dude.
He is.
Kind of a riddle wrapped in an asshole.
Are your parents married now? Or were they together?
No, they divorced a few years back.
Oh, okay. So there was like
30 years of being married.
See, I wonder like why even bother at that point. You what are you going to start over and find a new person?
Well, my mom already remarried. So.
Really?
Yeah.
How old's your mom?
Oh God! Now you're gonna make me do math. Shit.
It doesn't have to be, you know.
Well, as long as she's not actually 50s, gonna ever listen to this.
Then, in her 50s, yeah, I should say.
I think she's like 56.
Okay, so that's pretty old though to start over again and you know,
yeah,
in the love life. Yeah. I don't know. That just seems weird to me. And what about your dad? Did he ever get remarried?
No.
He's playing the field.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I guess he kind of is. My sister paid for him to fly down to Brazil to meet some chick.
Oh, man.
He met online.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And he came back alive with both of his kidneys?
Yes, he did.
Wow. I think he's one of the lucky ones.
We were kind of wondering if that was going to happen or not.
I've heard crazy things about Brazil. I played a Patrice O'Neill clip to begin the show. He's a comic. He passed away a few years ago. But he had these crazy stories about the brothels in Brazil that are just crazy. And I guess they kind of like not shut them down, but it definitely scaled back over the past few years. But he used to say he used to go like once a year, and it was just like a vacation for him, and he had a blast. So, but nothing happened. It wasn't like one of those situations. It was just a woman he legitimately met.
Yeah, I guess they were talking online for...
How do you even meet a person from Brazil on the internet? I mean, I guess it's easy.
He had this whole thing about wanting to move down to South America or some shit.
Your dad is definitely killing people, and he's like, I gotta leave the country now. I can't just escape to another state.
I don't know. I think I think Brazil is not one of those things that has the whole, what is it, the amnesty or extradition.
So they will ship you back?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Ask your dad, because he probably knows all the rules with this.
Probably.
So nothing ever came with the lady from Brazil?
No, actually, I guess he was down there for... He was only there for 2 weeks, and the first week they hung out, and apparently she got pissed off at him. Not really a shocker.
It's easy to do, yeah.
So, yeah, they stopped talking, I guess, the rest of the time. He hung out with the guy that owned the hotel he was staying at.
Oh, okay, right on. So a successful trip. He had a good time, and now he's now he's back. Maybe murdered some people in Brazil, and now he's back in. Where's he living?
I think he's staying with my sister right now. Actually,
is in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you like a close knit with your family? Always been kind of cool?
I'm pretty close with my sister and my mom.
Yeah. Don't really talk to your dad though.
Not usually. No.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well,
is it deep?
It's a long, long, deep, dark tale.
Just because he kind of moved you around a lot? And
no, it wasn't that. He just, I think, not to get too like Freudian with all this.
Please do. Let's get into it. Let's talk psychology.
I think he lost interest with me and my sister once we actually developed personalities. Babies are cute.
Yeah,
they're kind of like pets that poop a lot and take all your money,
right?
You know, but then they get older and they become self-aware and whatnot, and then the fun kind of stops.
Did it have anything to do with, are you trying to be like a painter? Like, I want to get paid off art, and that's what I want to do for a career. Is that kind of in mind, or
that would be the ultimate goal? Yeah.
So is he maybe not as supportive as you'd like him to be, or?
No, I mean, he came out to the show.
He did? Okay, yeah, that's great. There. That's important.
I mean, I don't think he really gets any of the stuff that I do, though.
Yeah, and that's and I think that's okay as long as he's like, hey, I couldn't do it, so I'm glad you're doing something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, being having supportive parents, it's amazing. I talk to a lot of people that roll through here, and there's a lot of my parents aren't very supportive of me type things, which is really sad because I have good parents. You know, they've been really supportive of what I'm trying to do. But yeah. You know, what about you, Corey?
Well, it's, speaking on that subject, it's really hard, I think, for a parent, because I am a parent, to recognize what your kid's producing, what they're capable of doing. You don't see the, I guess, the how big it is to them, the bigger mm-hmm. picture, you know, until you actually see it for self. I think his father coming up there, who I got to meet, was really nice man. You know, I think maybe he's looking at it, you know, because he's actually, I think, in my eyes, I think he's part of the process because, you know, it's his son. And obviously, being his father and growing up, I think that, you know, helps produce what he's doing now in some shape or form. So, my father was very supportive, but, you know, like you were saying, they're supportive and then they're not about everything. And my father was the same way, but he didn't really see what I was really doing. He thought it was small, but the more he got involved later in my career, the more excited and the more he showed up, so he started really seeing. So I think that's, as a parent, I think that's part of it. It's not that they don't support you, it's just
They want to see, I think parents want to see you do well and, right. And not see you struggle and not, you know, see you in pain. So when you're in a creative field like that, you run the risk of being in pain and struggling and trying to figure out how you're going to survive. And I think that's the big thing with parents. I mean, any sort of art form, like the comedians that roll through here, it's the same thing. You know, they're doing shows for $25, you know, right. a night if they're lucky. And I mean, that's just the life they lead. It's that every day, like, oh my God, how am I going to eat type thing.
Yeah, I was at an open mic just the other night, and an individual, and this was at Sly Bar, an individual was doing open mic, spoken word, Mona Lisa, and after, I mean, it's amazing that they just started doing that there, and then actually being watching the event and seeing the amount of talent, you know, and this is a free showcase, the amount of talent is just unbelievable, and so you appreciate things. It's one thing to say that somebody's doing something, but actually being a part of it and seeing the process or the outcome or result or whatever, I think it's pretty cool. So
that's the thing. I think that there are a lot of super, and I don't think it's special to this area either, to the St. Pete area. It is kind of an artsy scene, you know, in many aspects. But I think anywhere you go, there's going to be a group of people that you're just like, wow, that's really impressive, the work that they can do. And I was trying to figure out what gets them over the hump. So I have a feeling, like my theory is that it's about 50% talent is really all it is. And then I think hard work is probably, let's say, another 40%, and then you got that 10% luck thing that you just need to have, be in the right place. And luck meaning being in the right place at the right time, meeting somebody who can help you, and working together as a team, too. Because that's, I think creatives in general are pretty self-centered and also are not nice to each other. Right. In a lot of certain other, if we would all kind of help each other and be like, oh, I can help you here if you can help me here, then it would be a much better place. But I think it also weeds out. It's just part of the plan. It's the yin and yang type of thing.
Yeah.
That it weeds kind of people out for the people that will succeed and the people that won't succeed. I don't know. That's just my theory on it.
Well, yeah. And I mean, like, painting and a lot of art in general is kind of masturbatory. You know, it's very self-serving
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways, because you're just doing, at least for me, I'm just doing what I like to do, and if people like it, you know, awesome.
Yeah.
If they don't, well, kind of whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't really expect to please anybody, really, because you're just not. There's going to be a lot of people that don't enjoy it, but you got to hope that the people that do enjoy it will purchase it, I guess, and help you out in that sense, and that's how you can be supportive of of the art thing. I liked what you did, too, at your show. And if you're just joining us, I'm sitting down with Zach Counts. Zach is a visual artist here in St. Petersburg. And Corey Allen. Corey is a gallery owner at the Corey Allen Contemporary Art Gallery and PR firm, too.
Well, I'm my trade's publicist, but yes, a publicist who owns an art gallery.
Okay, gotcha. That's an interesting combo.
Yes.
You don't see that very often. So yeah, what I liked about your show, Zach, is you had, and I didn't know this, I thought Corey did them for you, but your prints that you had, I think that is a key to selling art here in this new day and age is prints, because nobody wants to buy anything. And it's not that they don't want to, it's just that a lot of people can't.
Yeah.
So you had the prints available. You didn't bring me one, did you?
I didn't.
It's all right. We'll get it later. I asked you to. Well, I actually asked you at Sly Bar after maybe a couple beers were had.
Oh, dude, I was really drunk that
yes,
night.
Understandable. I had a good time that night as well. So, yeah, that's okay. I'll get one later. You still
yeah.
have them. But,
we still have them. Yeah.
Your girlfriend made prints, and they turned out really nice.
Yes.
And I think that's a big part is making it art affordable. That's going to be the new thing, especially in this digital age where you can just take a picture or something and you can have it that way.
Yeah.
When I did Coral Skies Festival, you came right. and hung out, and I got a lot of people asking, hey, can I take a picture? And I was kind of struggled with that because I don't mind, of course, and I'd rather them have it than not. But also, I'm kind of missing out there on an opportunity to, especially the camera phones now. I mean, I think my phone is like 13, what is it, gigapixels, megapixels? I don't know.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. Yeah.
They're huge. And so you could take a really high definition photo of something, take it to FedEx, and make your own print for free. And then you have your own thing. So I think that the only way to combat that is to make it affordable now. And the prints are a way to do that.
Well, you also got to make it appear as an investment as well. It's one thing to have the image, the picture, whatever, but it's really not the genuine piece of work. And having the genuine piece of work is what really, again, it comes down to what are they investing in? If they really enjoy this, they should have the original actual painting or sculpture or whatever, but if they don't, they can have a piece of it through a print or something more affordable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they still, it's still genuine because it's coming from the artist that signed, and there's a market for it. It's an investment. You know, you throw your money away on clothes and vehicles and all kind of things, and people don't realize that you could actually create an investment in artwork. So
yeah, and I think a lot of people do understand that, especially older people. But the kids now, I don't think they get that because they've grown up on this digital world now. I mean, everything's online. I was talking to my stepmom, and I think she was just trying to gauge my opinion of what I thought. I don't think that she had any, I don't know, what do you call it, motive or anything. But she was asked me, she's like, what do you think? And just randomly asked, like, what do you think about the schools not teaching cursive anymore? I guess that's the thing. They're not going to teach.
Yeah.
Handwriting anymore, like cursive
yeah.
writing. So my theory is, well, it's unnecessary now. It's kind of like learning Latin. We're moving into a new age, and I guess the thing is that a lot of grandmas can't write their kids or grandkids because they can't read the writing now, and I think that's going to be fallout. But that's like a generational. Okay, you got one generation that's going to have a fallout there, and then it's all going to be, you know, our parents know how to use computers enough to write an email, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's so, okay, sorry, Grandma. You're not going to be able to talk to your grandkids.
Or,
but you'll
you
be
know,
dead in like
15
years.
Hook up with chicks
years,
in Brazil
so.
Or whatever.
Right.
I think with the cursive thing, it's just a lot of the younger kids growing up without cursive, it'll be easy to forge their names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Print
right.
their names.
You get an e-signature.
Yeah.
I love that, how on documents they do that. They're like, okay, sign your name. And it's just the easy. You just type your name,
right.
And for some, they're
yeah,
just like, you
the,
swear this is
the
you.
First
like,
time,
yep,
the
sure,
first time I actually ever had to do that, I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, how do you?
This is so retarded.
And then you have to put a captcha in that you can't even read.
Yeah, I love the Facebook ones. It gets really irritating because I do the. I have to invite everybody for the. I feel guilty doing it, but I have to constantly invite people. I mean, that's how else are they going to know about it? You know, so I
yeah.
invite them all the time, and you have to do this. And the Facebook captcha is really bad. I don't know why. Like, some are really great. It's just a picture. And then you're just like type that in. But the Facebook ones are all squiggly and everything like that.
Is something on Facebook not working properly? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. You were boycotting and now you're back on. So I'm
that was because of Corey.
So what's the motive behind that? Why does he need a Facebook?
Because it's the standard in today's market. It's just another tool that I don't think it's more about him as it is the other people. And you know, I always believe wherever you can, you know, get the exposure, I think it's necessary. You don't have to make it an everyday tool for you, but at least have a place where people can access his work. So,
yeah, and I'm fine with that. You know, it's just I got tired before of just the inane BS that was being posted constantly, even after I had like hidden like almost everyone on my friends list. Like,
yeah, you start to hate your friends after a little while.
Really, guys? Really?
Yeah.
Like, you have nothing better to do than just complain about everything in the world.
That's what it's for. I mean, when this
apparently.
When you have access to what, like, you could just literally show your day to day, and most people's day to day are not worth mentioning.
Right.
And now you have a tool where it's me, and you can show what you're eating, what you're drinking.
Yeah.
What's your exercise? There's the exercising thing is big now. People love to post their exercises. I saw an Instagram of, I guess it was like a map my run thing. So they gauged their, and it's girls, let's be honest here, that usually are doing this stuff. So they
or dudes who are really into bike riding.
Yes, I noticed a lot of bike riders too. That is true. Yes, you're absolutely right. So the girl had the track that she ran, and then a picture of herself after she was done with her hand on her hip, and then like, oh, such a great workout. Who cares? Like, who could possibly care about that? And if anyone says that they care about that, they're lying, because that's just meaningless. It means nothing to anyone but them. But then I guess, okay, so you have that place that's yours that you can put that. But it just gets boring after a while, and it takes its toll on me. I spend many minutes in the bathroom every morning as I take my constitution, hating everybody on Facebook. But it gets my day going. I feel invigorated after. I'm ready to take on the day. So I get something out of it, too.
Yeah.
There's this positive vibes thing that is going on. Only positive vibes, man. No, give me the negative vibes. I thrive off of them. And I can hate these people in private and then go about my day. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, social media has really changed the way we communicate. I mean, there's no question about that. But it's also, for me, it's a love-hate relationship. I personally am not a big fan of social media. Professionally, I know it's a necessary tool, set of tools that I need to use. But I'm really careful about what I post. If you look at my Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, it's not necessarily an everyday thing. And if it is for a period of time, it's not too heavy. And it's usually relative to a show or
something. Yours is all work related. There's no like personal stuff on there.
Yeah, no nude photos from this guy.
I wish, so. But no luck yet. Maybe one day.
Yeah, and you know, and like with his page and everything, it does allow people to see what he's doing and stay aware of what he's got coming next, so they can come out and support. Because we had a really good turnout. And, you know, it's funny because when you create those Facebook events and you've got 1,000 people coming and 2 people show up, you know, that's another reason why you really can't rely on social media to map out the events. But fortunately, we had said 26 were coming. I think we counted, and this is an approximate number, 80 people throughout the night.
That's
through
pretty
over
good,
3 hours. It was pretty interesting. So
I mean, I got there pretty much at the end, and it was still pretty full with people when I got there.
Yeah.
So, I think the rule is you got to take what's on your Facebook, like, or whatever, whoever's coming, and then cut that number in half, and that's the number that are really going to come. That's the general rule.
And we spent some time communicating with people face-to-face about the show, and I think that, you know, word of mouth, you know, there's different forms of word of mouth, but the, you know, really face-to-face word of mouth is still the number one way to really get a turnout to promote something, because the whole idea... people need to realize is that if you PR promotions, whatever you want to call it, is part of your work. It's a huge part of your work, if not bigger, because that's what creates the luck and all that. But with the PR aspect, you have to realize that you just got to keep nailing every opportunity you can and not rely on social media, because it is just one set of tools. There's so many other tools out there to use, but still, again, front to front, kind of lost my thought in the middle there for a minute.
Well, also, I think with, like, when you talk to people directly face to face, there's, you kind of guilt them into coming more. Well, because on Facebook, it's so, you know, it's so kind of anonymous, even though they know who you are,
right,
you know, through your page or whatever, but there's no, like, real commitment to anything.
Right.
You know?
And the where I was getting at was, like, I could tell you about Zach's show, or I could just post it on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And you're like, oh, that's cool, or not, regardless, but you think it's cool. And then, you know, 5 seconds later, it's already out of your head. You're already looking at something else.
Yeah.
But if you and I sat down and I said, hey, we've got a show coming up, and I really gave you enough background, what was going on and all that, enough, and we had a really good conversation. The goal is to turn people into promoters, because then they're going to have that same commitment to talk to whoever else. That's the reason why it's important.
Well, it's also better to talk face-to-face to people, too, because you can, like, show emotion to them and get them excited about something, whereas reading text online is just, you know, you're going to interpret your own emotional state that you're in when you're reading it. Which is why people get into so many stupid fights through text messages and shit.
Yeah, because you can't tell the tone. Tone's very important, and you miss that on text. And if you're just joining us, I'm sitting down with visual artist Zach Counts and gallery owner right here in St. Pete, Corey Allen. And I think that's one of the things with digital media, too. And, like, it's great because you have this tool where you can reach the world, but also you're so flooded with information and what, okay, this guy's doing this, I put go, like, if I get invited to anything, I just put going, just so I can keep track of it, because I do what to do this week for Radio St. Pete. Usually on Wednesdays I record it, and it's what to do for the weekend, so I just put going to everything just so I have a log of it. But I probably go to around 15% of things that I say I'm going to, just because I don't have time to do all these things. I'm 30 years old now, for God's sakes. I don't have time to go to.
Well, and there's always something going on, it seems like, since I've been here. It's
always
like 10 things going on at one time, and people say, why didn't you come? Well, how's that, you know, another
this
event?
Other thing, yeah. Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard to keep up. And it's cool that there is so many things, but yeah, it's overload, sensory overload. Right. And I can't, I was talking to Zach about this. I went to the Proverbial Art Show that was at the, what's that bar called now? It's called something else. It was at Cost, and now
it's... it's at...
548?
Yeah, 548. Yeah.
Okay. And it was so loud in there that I felt like... I saw Joe, Slybar Joe, and he came up and tapped me on the shoulder. Oh, Jesus! Like, I was I jumped, and I was like, what? And he's like, hey! And I was like, ah! I should go. And then it started raining, and I got caught in the rain, so I couldn't leave. So I just sat at the bar and tried not to have a panic attack while it was doing this. I can't do the loud stuff anymore, man. It freaks me out.
Yeah.
And it has to be a band I really want to see, which come few and far between in order for me to do that. But
right.
So they were like, I had some friends say, hey, let's do Bonnaroo this year. I was like, no, I don't think so. We can try to go back in time, you know, maybe 5 years or so, and maybe I'll go.
Right.
But
right.
There's no way. Do you guys feel your age?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Yeah. But you worked in a bar, so you kind of, you know, you had to be out amongst the noise and the, you know, all that.
Yeah, I did. Wasn't necessarily a big fan of all that.
What about you, Corey?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I used to be able to work 4 days in a row without sleep. If I even tried to attempt one day, which I did, went out to San Francisco, didn't sleep for 44 hours. It was like I was a walking mess.
Yeah, forget it. I can't do that anymore.
Like
I used
a bad acid trip.
Yeah.
I used to be up till like 4 in the morning, then go to bed and wake up for work the next day and go. I'm usually, I think, in bed now by midnight. It's really hard for me, even on the weekends now, to be up past midnight. It's a rarity. I don't know what happened. where everything went wrong. Maybe I don't get enough exercise. I don't know what's going on, but it's terrible, man.
Yeah, I definitely don't get enough exercise. Maybe I should post selfies. Maybe that'll help me.
You fat shame yourself?
Yes.
I'm getting a gym membership. I decided I'm working this other job, so once I get my new paycheck, I'm heading to get a gym membership. I'm going to make myself go at least a few nights a week. I started taking this supplements too. Psyllium husk. You ever heard of this?
Sounds familiar. Is it?
It's high in fiber, basically.
Oh, so it just makes you poop like crazy.
Yeah. So I was really excited about that. And apparently the big thing was I heard was that light wipers that you have, too. There's just like one or two and you're good to go. Because that's my least favorite part about the process of defecating. So it's been working so far, man. I'm really excited. So that's what I originally got it for. But also, my diet... It just stinks. It's really, because it's just me here, you know. I'm not going to cook for myself. I usually just eat a sandwich or something for dinner, peanut butter, jelly, or whatever.
Right.
Just grab something. Or I eat out a lot, too. And it's hard to, you know, you can get a salad or something, but who wants a salad if they're going out to dinner? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but I actually, like, I'm getting to the point now, that's changed, too, where I crave vegetables. Like, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get some vegetables. Yeah. Salads, raw veggies.
Yeah.
And that's completely changed as well. I still like a good pizza, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But salads aren't so bad anymore.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's go back. The show, is the show going to be open this weekend at the gallery?
Yes. Yes, it's going to be up for through the weekend and next week. So if you want to come out, just let me know.
Is your gallery, like, does it have an open time where you could just walk in?
It's appointment only still. We were going to switch to a set of times, but being new here, I'm still tackling things that need to be done. In fact, this week has been overload. Didn't get near half the stuff I wanted to get done. So I think once the smoke clears, going into May time frame, we'll start posting hours. And then I'll do appointment only as well outside of that, because I'm not going to be open every 8 hours a day. It'll probably be a 4 to 6 hour time frame.
Seems like an art gallery would be more of a nighttime type of thing too, like after 5.
Right. So, but I've had a few. It seems like with appointment only, I've had more during the day, which was kind of weird for me. I thought, like you, I thought it would be more night visitors, but. Besides having a show or whatnot, but it's been working so far. But I do want to have daily hours. So,
But you haven't been open very long either. I mean, how long have you been?
We got the property in May of last year, and really didn't start opening up the building until September. So I haven't really, you know, for the appointments, we did our first show there, which we came out here.
Yeah, so Exvala came out. Yeah,
yes, and then we've had. Including Zach's recent show, I've only had, I think, about four official shows, mm-hmm. four or five. And so, but that's going to change this year. We're going to be doing a show every 2 weeks,
wow.
Sometimes even once a week, depending on the month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I'm going through right now. I had to go out to San Francisco to meet with my partners and decide how we wanted to do everything. And after that trip, I realized that I was going to have to change everything that I've done. We're in the middle of having a completely different website. And I'm working on that, and just a complete overhaul. So to really adjust to this area, so because I want to do both national, international artists and local artists as well. And Zach is the first local artist. Besides, we had a Freefab 3D come out. They're the 3D printmakers, but as far as posting paintings or hanging paintings or sculptures and stuff, Zach's our first to christen the building. So.
I broke your cherry.
My cherry's broken.
Good. I'm like you nice and loose. That's how I like my fellas. You know? So, Zach, you had a painting that, the one that stuck out to me at the show was the, I don't know what it's titled, but it was Christ.
It's called What Would Jesus Do?
Okay, if it makes sense. And it's decapitating.
Jesus is decapitating, he's decapitated Billy Graham, and he's about to do the same to Pat Robertson.
Gotcha.
From the 700 Club.
And it had the very in the news things with ISIS. It got that feel to it, like Jihadi John with a large knife.
Yeah,
expressionless.
I kind of had Jesus dressed a little bit like him.
Mm-hmm. That was the theme?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So where did that, I guess that was the one that got the most attention that night. Where did that come out of? Where were you at that point?
I mean, just all the stuff that's been going on over there with ISIS and everything. It's all just so ridiculous to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my God's better than your God kind of thing. I mean, most of those religions have some sort of Jesus allegory or story to them that's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just morphed into whatever they are now over the years.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, really, does it matter that much to you that you got to go cut people's heads off?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it really does to a lot of these people. And it's
crazy to me. It's like,
it is literally, I think that's like, that should be
to me,
new
that's
definition.
Like, that's like little Harry Potter fans at the mall, like cutting, other people's heads off for liking like Twilight or something.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
the same thing.
Yeah. And
it's ridiculous.
And the thing about it is it's just a book like anything else, just like Harry Potter, but it's 2000, yeah. more than 2000 years old. So you can't, and there's just this tradition that's built around it. And I think, you know, the deal is this war is not going to be won with bombs. It's going to be won with pop culture. I think feeding in the internet is really what's going to defeat. Because I think the younger people in general figured it out, man. They know it's mostly hogwash. I mean, there's always it's on the decline. And I think I'm excited about humanity's prospects over the next, you know, a couple generations, because I think we're getting smarter and I think we're becoming more communal. We just got to wait for the stupids to croak. And, you know, eventually.
Yeah, but, you know, if you took religion away, or just out of the equation, people would find something else to fight over, you know?
Internet, man. That's what they're going to be fighting over. Keeping the internet free and open.
It'd be like that South Park episode where they got rid of all religion and it was the different sciences. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And there was otters that were fighting. It was weird.
I think it's amazing that we just, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, we're watching... actually, yeah, about 4, 5, 6, 7 years around that time frame, we're watching Osama bin Laden videos, you know, and they're all grainy, and now you're watching these ISIS videos who got, I guess they have a PR team.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
do.
It's just amazing how they shoot the scenes of frame by frame, and then it was just, the setup was just amazing how they were able to make it so powerful, and it's what made it so much more eerie, and I guess it's really showing how much they're investing in the public relation aspect of getting their message out, how to shape it better.
Yeah. What's interesting too about that is this is what they're fighting against is this.
Right.
Social media is not in their end game. They want to get rid of everything. They want it to be what they perceive as the times of Muhammad now.
Right.
So they want to get rid of all idols. They just want, I guess, sand and tents, and they'll, you know, sit in them and pray the whole time. That's their end game, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what they believe, but I know that social media is not going to be in the process. So it's interesting that they're using it as a tool to gain supporters, and they figured that out. They're not stupid,
right?
Is the thing. So, but anyway, guys, we already got to wrap this up. Tell me, where can we, you know, where's your gallery and social media and all that?
Well, it's located in the Warehouse Arts District. It's at 2121 2nd Avenue South. It says Kaka, the showroom, really big on the outside. You can't miss it, across from Three Daughters. The Zach Counts exhibit will be there through end of next week. And so anytime you want to come out, you can visit kakanet.com, kakanet.com. Contact us through there or Facebook. It's under Corey, Cory Allen, Allen, Kaka.
All right, Zach, do you even know yours? Is it so new that you don't even know?
My Facebook information?
I don't know, whatever you want to give out.
Oh.
Or you don't have to give out anything. Doesn't matter.
It's under Zach Counts.
Okay. Yeah. How did I spell it?
Z-A-C-C-O-N.
Or I didn't spell it like it's normally
spelled. T-Z.
So. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for coming out. I appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. Facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. Facebook.com/RadioSt. Pete. Y'all have a fantastic week. I'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Thanks,
man.